During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
This is SportsCenter.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Huge show today, live in studio. Lebo joining us for the entire show today. Josh Briscoe of Almost Entirely Sports joining us for the second segment today.
Oh, yeah, because I got some words for him.
Big words.
Big
fighting words.
And man, anybody who tries to who tries to compare Tyreek Hill to Randy Moss, yeah, we got words.
Is this going to be a fight?
Well, he wanted a fight. You would look like too.
Yeah, Briscoe knows not to mess with me.
Man, he knows where his bread is buttered.
That's Lebo. For those of you who don't know that buttery voice, Todd Lebo joining us every Wednesday. But Darren, let people know what's going to happen in this first segment.
Well, we will probably be getting a phone call from Milwaukee Brewers outfield Lorenzo Cain during the show. Of course, I didn't clear it with Milwaukee, but you know it is what it is. But he'll be joining us on the show today. We'll talk about the reaction he got last night, as well as you know his time in Kansas City and you know what he's doing off the field in Milwaukee as well.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, and for people to know, because I know we talked yesterday about Jeffrey Flanagan joining us today. He's going to join us on Monday. He has some internet and stuff issues at his place, so we will in turn have Jeffrey on the show on Monday to talk Royals baseball. So it's funny because looking at the way Sterling is really excited right now, looks like we probably got Lorenzo on the phone. So we'll see in just a quick moment. Is that him, Sterling?
Lorenzo Cain, big ovation last night from the Royals fans. Loved in Kansas City still. It was everyone's – well, it was my favorite Royal. When during those championship times, my kids, they all love Lorenzo Cain. What a thrill to watch him play. And I'm glad he got that bag. And, yeah. You know
– wish he got the bag here in Kansas City. But look, without further ado, you know saying, I have to do the whole Steve Harvey thing. But obviously, for Kansas City Royals fans – who were here during the 2014 World Series run, and then, of course, the second year when they went back and won it all. One of the main casts in the starring role for the Kansas City Royals and helping us get that first World Series title after 30 years of it being dormant, our good friend, Mr. Lorenzo Cain, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder, joined us on the show today. Lorenzo, good afternoon to you, my friend.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing okay, man. Just good to hey, man. So I got to ask you because it was on social media, and of course, we talked about it coming into the show. But the reaction that you got last night from the fans, you know, it's one thing to know that you would expect it, but it's another thing for it to actually take place. What was going through your mind, going through your body when you heard the fans, you know, well, one, when they called your name first time up, coming to bat, Lorenzo Cain and the fans just giving you the ovation that they gave you?
Yeah, it was special, man. They said I wasn't expecting it, you know, because I came back here in 18 and, you know, they showed me a lot of love then, you know, so I wasn't expecting it yesterday. But once again, you know, they just showed me how much they appreciate it. You know, all we did while I was here, it was just a special moment, you know, just put a big smile on my face. And it was a blast coming back here for sure.
Now, Lorenzo, last night there were a few times during the game, too, where you're kind of looking over at the dugout. I mean, was it Salvi? Who was in your ear? Was it Gerard? Who was chirping at you?
Yeah, I think Rusty, Dyson, Salvi, I mean, all the guys was just chirping at me the entire time. And like I say, I definitely miss those guys, man. I miss that group more than you guys know, man. We had a great time, and that's a group that I don't think I'll ever be a part of again. It was very special.
You run around the league, right? You run across a lot of your old teammates from there, right? You know, when you're in the National League, you play the Padres. You could play the Reds a lot, right? You see Moose around. You'll always have that time, right? Whether you get to come back here and see guys in Kansas City, because many of you have spread around.
Right.
That brotherhood that you get with any teammate at any time is cool. But when you do what you did in 14 and 15, that's kind of even more special, right? How much fun is it just to see those guys? You probably every couple of weeks you're seeing someone, right?
Yeah, I'm usually seeing somebody. So we just talk as much as we can, you know, laugh and just have good conversation. A lot of memories are brought up, you know, from that team. And like I said, we just laugh about the past, man. And like I said, that group was so special, and I was so happy to be a part of it. And like I said, Dayton did a great job putting that team together. I mean, from the front office all the way down to the trainers and all the coaches that I was able to be a part of, all the players, obviously, and the fans, most importantly. It was just a blast, a great time. And like I said, I don't think I'll ever experience anything like that in my life.
Former World Series winner for the Kansas City Royals, Lorenzo Cain, the current outfielder for Milwaukee Brewers, joining us on Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. Sterling?
Speaking of memories, what is your favorite memory of Kansas City? And you can't say World Series. We know that. That's the easy one. We can't do that.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. I mean, how can I not say that? I mean, I don't know. We just had so many moments. I can't really pinpoint one. It was
I told him with your hard-hitting questions, and he did it anyway.
But I would say I remember the time when I scored from first, you know, in that Toronto game. I remember having a rain delay and you know, sitting in the clubhouse. I knew I was leading off, you know, once the rain delay stopped, and I was able to get on and possibly hit that ball and just jerseyly having the awareness and to send me there, knowing what Bautista would do. That was one of my favorite moments. And also clearing the bases in the World Series. I definitely got to throw that in there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and just getting that rally started. I remember, you know, you walked to start the rally when Harvey went back out there, right? And it seemed like once you got on base, you knew something was going to go down. You guys would put so much pressure on the other team. You know, Haas scoring when Duda ends up throwing the ball wild. I mean, that was fun. It's hard to recreate that everywhere. I mean, you guys have had some good baseball teams in Milwaukee, and you kind of play similarly, right? A lot of pressure, a lot of running, a lot of speed to do that. But when you guys were at your best with the Royals, even when you were just trying to get better and get to be a playoff-type team, you always had that kind of attitude, right? And you used to maybe rub some people the wrong way. You guys were doing hand signals and all this stuff. You hadn't won anything yet. But you kind of had to have that attitude of going out there and pressuring people and putting pressure on other teams to get it done. You kind of have to do it before you do it, right? You can't just sit there and wait to be good. You have to act like you're good first, don't you?
100%. You know, the thing about that team is we didn't worry about rubbing people the wrong way. We went out there and played with an attitude, you know, played with a sense of urgency. And like I say, it didn't bother us if we rubbed anybody the wrong way. You know, we were out there to go get you, you know, and get the job done, win a ball game. And we all play for each other, and I think that was very special. And you know, a group like that is tough to find; it's tough to come by. And it's just special, man. I just so many memories, you know, so much catching up I can do, and you know, I still talk to all the guys to this day. And like I said, I'm right here sitting outside right now. I just saw Dyson from across the way in the dugout over there. So he's laughing, you know, talking crap as usual, you know, Dyson. it was just a lot of fun, man. I mean, the group in general was just a lot of fun. And, I definitely miss those guys more than you guys know, I tell you.
Do you have any good stories of you and of course, you know, your former manager who led you to a World Series?
Yeah, I mean, he always gave us he always knew when to come in and give us the right motivational speech, you know, when we needed it. And one thing I can say about Ned, you know, he just allowed us to go out there and be ourselves. You know, he didn't want us to act a certain way. All he asked from us was to play hard every day. And I feel like we went out there and did that. And he allowed us to grow as a group, and we all got better together. And you could see that everybody just growing into their own, you know, and just learning from each other and playing for each other. And, you know, I definitely miss Ned. You know, he's definitely one of my one of my favorites. And, yeah, I mean, just that entire group in general. You know, definitely miss those guys.
You know, he stuck around here a couple more years than longer than I would want to, because it was rough, right, when the team was really, really young. And he did that, and he finally said no. He was going to go to the farm, right? And he still got – I guess he's back doing some stuff on Sirius Radio. What do you think his days are like, though, hanging out on the farm? I think I would have headed to the farm before that. He had enough money, but I don't know. I guess he just liked being around you guys and the travel of that life, right, the grind of flying and going to the hotels and all that stuff.
Yeah, I know. I know. Once I'm done, I'm done. I'm definitely done. But yeah, the grind of it. I definitely saw him in a few. I think it was a T-Mobile commercial or something. I was like, oh, Ned is doing it, huh?
You're getting that bad.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, he's enjoying his life. You know, he's doing what he loves to do. You know, hanging out on his farm. You know, just deer hunting, I'm sure. But yeah, you know, Ned being Ned, enjoying his life, and he deserves it, man. You know, he was a great manager for us for a long time, and yeah, I get a chance to talk to his son all the time because I played with him in the minor league. So I'm always asking how his dad's doing. So it'd definitely be good to see him and catch up.
Lorenzo, we'll keep you on for a couple more minutes. I know Sterling wants to get this question into you.
So I was told no hard questions, and I apologize. I'll let you pass if you have to. But we're speaking on managers here. Do you have any thoughts about the Tony La Russa, the position player pitching, the bomb Mercedes hit? Do you have any thoughts on this?
I have no problems on that, you know. And the game's hard enough. I mean, you're facing a guy throwing, 65 or whatever the position player was throwing?
47. 47 on the home run.
Oh, 47. Sorry, I gave him more credit than he needed, I guess. But, no, I don't have a problem with it. Swinging 3-0. I mean, the game's hard. You know, when you get a chance to get an easy way out, you take it, you know, because, you know, I'm sure the next day you're going to be facing 99 here soon. So yeah, I don't have a problem with it, you know, but I know La Russa, he's old school. And like I say, the game is changing. You know, the game is not like it was when, you know, I first came up. Everything's changing. Guys are throwing harder. Guys are nastier. They got every possible analytic number they can have on you nowadays. So it's definitely a grind out there. So, you know, when you get a chance to get an easy cookie fastball, yeah, you try to smash it for sure.
He already threw earlier this year and got like 9 pitches, retired the side in a game they were losing. It's embarrassing to swing and make an out with a guy throwing 47 miles an hour, right? Yeah. You might as well try to hit a home run, right?
Exactly. I agree. I'm all for it. So, hey, I tip my hat to him because he did a good job of sitting on 47. That's tough. That's pretty tough in his own right. So, yeah, great swing by him, and he put it in the seat. And, yeah, on to the next day for me.
Lorenzo, I know you're a big Chiefs fan. Obviously, you know, I tell people all the time that I think that the Chiefs kind of followed your motto. In 2018, they lost the AFC Championship game. I told Patrick in the press conference, look at how the Royals did it. They lost in the World Series, and then they came back and won the whole thing. They did that the next year. You still follow the Chiefs closely, you know, during the offseason, during the football season, or what?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big football fan in general. You know, I'm a big Cowboys fan. You know, that's my favorite team. But I definitely, you know, I root for the Chiefs harder than anybody. But, yeah, I mean, that team is solid. From top to bottom, those guys are stacked. I mean, we know Mahomes. He's the real deal. So, you know, I haven't got a chance to get him on my fantasy team yet. So, I'm still working on that. But, yeah, I mean, they follow the motto. And, like I said, I think that team is going to wreak havoc in the NFL for a long time, for sure.
Now, are you still living in Norman, Oklahoma? That you were living there for a while, right? I went to Oklahoma, so I'm saying you can be a honorary Sooner, and you can like Lincoln Riley's team too. I know I've seen some videos of you working out at their place, so you can be a Sooner too. That's all good.
Yeah, I trained there. I trained in the off season. You know, I didn't get a chance to train there last year because, you know, COVID and everything. So it was a tough year for me as far as the training regimen. But like I say, it was a tough year for everybody. So you just deal with it, move on. But my wife actually was a gymnast there.
Yes.
And I try to catch 2 or 3 games a year. So I'm sure I'll be at a few games this year as well.
All right, Lorenzo, look, we know you got to go and get ready for tonight's game. Really appreciate your time, man. Thank you for sharing a little bit of time with us today, man, and appreciate everything that you've done for the city as well as for myself personally. So until next time, Lorenzo, good luck tonight, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one, and y'all take it easy, man.
All right, Lorenzo. Thanks, man. Yeah.
All righty.
Sterling, you got a chance to ask my man, you know, the
question. Tough questions.
But say, hey, He hit out the ballpark. That's what he does.
He crushed it.
I mean,
it was the lean back.
You threw it 47 miles an hour, and he hit it out the ballpark.
The low cane lean back is what it was. That's what it was.
I'm telling you, earlier this year, we were sitting there at my buddy's house, and we had seen this, and we sat there and watched the inning of when he threw against someone else, and we were laughing. This guy's getting people out throwing 47, 50, 60 miles an hour. And so when I saw that that was off of him, I'm like, well, if we were laughing at people making outs, how could you be mad at somebody hitting home run? I guess it was up 11, 3-0, whatever.
So what?
Let it
go, it's on 3-1, somehow it makes it okay. Like,
yes, that's
like,
the thing.
Like, I
if
get
they're up 9, it's okay.
Well, hold on. Here's
like, La Russa, I get it. He managed Honus Wagner, and that's not how it was done in 1920. But
stupid.
But you put up a good point. Teams do come back, and guess what? That shows up. Mercedes is not going to give up a hit. He's going to get paid for that home run probably when everything's said and done.
In 2 years, if he's got 25 homers instead of 24, they're going to say he's a 25-homer guy.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Correct me wrong. If you're going to walk the guy, shouldn't you just like have the glove?
He was just throwing pitches. I mean, all the, you know, they're just getting through the inning. He's just sitting there throwing pitches. And guys make outs sometimes. But
pop up.
You get paid to hit the ball, and it doesn't matter if you got a hit when it was nothing in the eighth. A year later, when they look at the back of the bubblegum card, you're going to have a home run.
The thing that irritates me more than all of this was when everyone on the White Sox players are taking Mercedes' side.
Oh, of course.
They're taking his side. And then,
because they know how hard it is.
And La Russa goes out to say, when he got plunked, the next day he goes, well, he kind of had it coming for him. And you're saying, I don't want my guys hitting home runs.
There are so
I
many things that you can do. Here, let's just say this right now. Tony La Russa says there are rules, unwritten rules in baseball. Well, there are actually written rules in the laws, and you got caught with a DUI asleep at a traffic. So you don't follow the real rules.
Nobody
wants
to point that out on the Zoom.
Everyone does on Twitter.
And then, not on Zoom.
How about this part? When you were managing the Oakland A's and they were all roided up, that was against the rules too. Yeah. You didn't care about that. How about the actual written rules? I don't like Tony La Russa.
It's such a hypocritical take, and then Lance Lynn is out here taking his side. And then, of course, he tells Lance Lynn, well, guess what? He has a locker, and I have an office. That's what La Russa said to Lance Lynn. There's never been a quicker way to lose a clubhouse than what he has just done.
Yeah, they're a very talented team, though. That's the deal.
Well, he's not talented. It's the team that's talented.
Yeah, I know, but they are. They're going to win despite him.
It would be impressive. Well, that's what I think the goal is to everyone rally around to hate La Russa.
Why didn't we ask Lorenzo Cain what he thought the best deep threat in the NFL was? See, that would have been the nice segue to the fight with Briscoe.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean,
he just said Randy Moss.
Exactly. So, you know, what's understood doesn't have to be said.
It is Randy Moss. That's not really a question, right? Like, well, Tyreek Hill's great.
Had you not seen Twitter today?
I have, but most people on Twitter are saying, well, this is stupid. One guy said that Tyreek Hill could be considered the best. And it's like, dude.
Did you just start watching football? I mean, that's like you and running backs. I mean, do you watch the game or do you just stick with analytics?
Yeah, and Jamal Charles is the only running back that's mattered in the past, I don't know, 20 years. Numbers, baby.
Save this segment.
Hot takes.
I need Briscoe here because he'll back me up on this. We'll have 2-on-2.
Fine. You know.
Let's get Briscoe. We'll have a little 2-on-2.
In the meantime, get off my lawn.
So, okay, La Russa.
Right, because that's how it's going to be when we bring that up. But before we even get to that, Lebo, I mean, are you surprised? I know, you know, I know on the calls this weekend we didn't really, you know, dive into it because, you know, you don't want to piss the Chiefs off because, you know, because any little thing sets them off from time to time. But are you surprised of the number of rookies as well as the number of players showing up for OTAs, you know, after you know, my conversation with DeMore Smith about why they want to play to not show up.
I'm not surprised the Chiefs are.
Well, and what I had to remind someone is that when it came to the Chiefs specifically, they were one of four teams that the union did not pressure to try to avoid because a lot of the players in their contracts have workout bonuses for attending. So, you know, so they're never going to.
Which I think there's a reason the Chiefs have those in there. They want these guys there. They think that makes them better.
Yeah.
To be here. And I do think this, and this was about 3 weeks ago or a month ago when these teams started saying they didn't want to be there and they started using the pandemic as a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeing the numbers are so much better in almost every city and state across the country. So I think that has changed a little bit too. Because to sit there and say 3 weeks ago, we're not coming to OTAs, and all of a sudden everything's kind of a lot better at your facilities and a good number of people in your organization are vaccinated, then it doesn't look like you're going to OTAs just because you don't want to go to OTAs. So I think that thing has –
But it's still a voluntary thing.
Sure, it's voluntary. Yeah, absolutely. You know. A lot of things are voluntary.
Yeah. Voluntary, mandatory. But to that point, though, a lot of teams, including the Chiefs, they've adjusted to where it's now, I guess for them, they're not going to have 2 weeks of OTAs or so, 2 weeks of minicamp or training or something, where they reduce it to 1 week. I know the Philadelphia Eagles, I think they've eliminated minicamp altogether. And they're just going to do the OTAs and then won't come back. And I think the Denver Broncos, I think the Denver Broncos are off for two. Basically, they're doing this and then they're off until August when they return for training.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of different ways to go about doing it. I mean, we're learning about a lot of different ways. We learned we could play football last year without in-person rookie mini camps or OTAs, and it worked. I don't think coaches like it as much, and I think a lot of players, some players probably liked it because they didn't want to come to town or do whatever. But a lot of players kind of need it. You know, they need to kind of get in shape and get a little football stuff going down. I think they understand that some of them do need it. And I do think for younger players, and you asked people this before, I think they need it a lot more. They need to learn what's happening as a professional football player. And I know if you're someone who's just trying to make a team, if you don't get to be in person in front of someone to impress them, it's going to be a lot harder for you to go make a team. They may say, oh, this guy really pays attention on Zoom, but if he's – they can't see you running a route or hustling from one station to the other or being there early and studying the playbook.
Calories.
You know, find a way to be the 53rd man on the roster. It's hard to impress someone if you're not in front of them.
I will say this before we go to break and bring Mr. Josh Briscoe on so we can tear him a new high. I think one of the reasons why we're seeing a lot of the players show up now is because they want to avoid that whole, Juwan James situation where the Broncos pretty much cut him.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're saying they're not paying them the $15 million in guarantees. And granted, he only played three games 2 years ago before he got injured, got paid $17 million, opted out last year, and got hurt this year. So they're looking to save money. No, he's going to try to file for grievance and see what happens, but I don't think it's going to end well for him. But now I see why players are showing up. I mean, so that's the mandatory on the voluntary part. But we're going to take a quick time out here on Darren and Sterling on ESPN Kansas City, and we will be joined when we come back by Almost Entirely Sports host himself, Mr. Josh Briscoe.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Thank you again to Lorenzo Cain joining us for the first segment. Full studio as Todd Lebo and now Joshua Briscoe of Almost Entirely Sports
tonight
joining us.
Tonight is, it can't get much worse.
Yeah. The entire.
Boy?
Sure
is.
Yeah. Sure is, Lebo.
The entire intro, he was just playing a mean bass line.
That bass line's killer, dude. I can't help
mean
it. I'm only human.
Darren, we call that a banger.
I see. I am just overwhelmed right now in more ways than one. with us, the host of Almost Entirely Sports, where you used to hear right here on ESPN Kansas City, but
right.
Has been upgraded to Sports Radio 810 WHB, we are joined by the irrevocable.
I'll take that. You cannot
that?
Take me away.
What did you say?
Whatever it was, I agree with all of that.
Irrevocable.
Is that a word? I am irrevocable. Sure. I am like irredeemable.
Irreplaceable.
Irreverent. I am irreverent. I'm all those words, man. You
irregular.
Just shove them all together. I'm certainly irregular.
We're joined by Josh Briscoe. Josh, what's going on with you, man?
I'm a little bit afraid about the next, 20 minutes of my life, but I'm also pretty excited for it.
I guess it's a setup, isn't this? Some sort of setup?
Yeah. Did you guys find out about my drinking problem?
Yeah.
Is this an intervention?
It is.
This is not who I would have thought was going to be at my intervention.
Let me read this letter
Trust
to you.
And believe, Josh. At least we're part. We're bringing you on to talk some football instead of that whole weed stuff we talked about.
I don't know why I've become the weed. I don't know. Jed's on
Look
the other side
hair.
Of the
hair.
It's very long.
Yeah.
I need a haircut.
Look at your beard and the shirt you're wearing and your shorts.
You're
all right now.
That's today,
fair.
Brother.
Don't
that's fair. That's fair.
You are very Woodstocky in today.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I understand that. I would get a haircut, but I'm afraid they'd do me like they did to Sterling. So I can't. I can't risk.
Wow. You mean looking like a young professional?
He's only gotten two haircuts.
Get a job,
in
the
last 2 years.
Sir.
Right.
That's true, Lebo.
He went a whole COVID time with no haircuts.
Oh yeah, I was down to the shoulder. He was flying.
Yeah.
And then
I got
and then
a lot
you
going
you
on
did
right
get
now.
A little tight.
I got to tell you, I didn't pull a Lebo.
No, but you look like somebody. He went like, give me the Ronaldo, or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I went Ronaldo.
Yeah, you look like a bad professional soccer player. Like, you're on the outside looking in.
Well, good. You know why?
No.
I'm terrible at soccer.
Yeah, so your haircut fits.
Good.
Yeah.
America, this is what I have to do.
This would turn into a fight now.
Thankfully, we did stream this today.
The worst part is, Briscoe and I are probably going to be on the same side for most of this entire segment.
I don't even know. Man, okay.
I don't know why you hate Randy Moss.
Set it up. Set it up, Darren. Set it up.
Okay, so
who's the person who caused this trouble?
It's some
Pro Football Focus.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to just put it out there like this. Some young, probably 12-year-old white kid from Pro Football Focus who has no idea what the hell he's talking about. You know, everybody get caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, we see Kansas City, we see Tyreek, we see Patrick Mahomes. You know, so we're all caught up in this new. I don't even call it the Z generation. I mean,
less than Z.
Zoomers, baby.
Yeah. So because of what Patrick Mahomes has done since 2018 to now, everybody thinks that I guess Thanos snapped his finger and half of existence, you know, happened, and we never heard of a guy named Randy Moss. So I see Josh Briscoe's.
What exactly was Pro Football Focus's point? Did they say
Tyreek Hill? No, the tweet said basically Tyreek Hill could be considered as the best deep threat of all time.
Could be. Okay.
That's right. I think it might be, but is essentially that.
Yeah, so it wasn't even a very strong.
This is analytic
stuff.
This was like a 12-year-old podcast.
It literally was like a 12-year-old guy basically saying like he could be. He's a very good.
And
deep
this has made Chief Kingdom mad
for some reason.
No, it's made. I don't know. I don't. I'm not. It's made. Darren mad.
It's made well, Darren,
no, Darren's mad because Chiefs Kingdom got mad.
I'm not
mad. No. I got mad because I got people, people who are trying to speak on this as though it's fact. And it's like, man, social media has really messed up legitimate media to where anybody can post.
Social media has messed up the world.
Yeah, that part is true. But like, I'm sitting there looking at it, right? I'm looking at the thing right now. Guy's trying to go back and forth with me. He's talking about, Hill is running the 4.2 right now. What's your point? I said, well, when Hill gets 36, 37, and he's still running a 4.3 40 like Randy Moss was, then you come talk to me.
Why do you hate Kansas City?
Why do I hate Kansas City?
Yeah. Now I play this side too.
Yeah. Yeah, Darren.
I'd still take Randy Moss.
Oh yeah, everyone's taking Randy Moss. That's silly.
So let me say my thing here.
Well, hold on, because you asked about you. So
yeah.
I saw Briscoe's little thing and he was like, I guess him fighting, you know, like the whole Spider-Man thing. Me thinking Randy Moss is the greatest wide receiver when he's got a picture of Rambo with his thumbs up, and then he says, me thinking that Tyreek Hill's the greatest, well, and he's got Randy.
Important distinction here. It's me whenever you, be anyone, says either of those two things. Here, this is where I feel like we've created some space here. I don't care, though. That's sort of where I'm at. Like, if you ask me right now,
because you commented on it.
No, he comments on everything. I comment on everything.
Dude, he has 78,000 tweets.
Here's where I'm at. If you say who is the best deep threat of all time, I think I'd say Randy Moss. I think I would also say that Randy Moss is one of the most like underrated receivers of this sort of middle generation that's post Jerry Rice, pre this like incredible like air raid style of NFL football, right? That's where I think Randy Moss belongs. If somebody says, I think Tyreek Hill is a better deep threat, in part because he helped make Alex Smith statistically the best deep passer in football that last year, then I would say, all right, man, that's fine. What I hate, what I did comment on, is this space that we end up in all the time where someone says, I want to talk about how good Tyreek Hill is. I'll over-exaggerate to this extent to say he's the best of all time. And somebody says, well, I want to talk about how great Randy Moss is. And then you end up belittling Tyreek Hill for no reason. I don't care. I'm tired of LeBron Jordan conversations because LeBron's going to end up retiring before we fully realized how excellent he was because we couldn't stop comparing him to Michael Jordan for no reason. We do this in every sport all the time. I don't want to spend Patrick Mahomes' entire career comparing him to Tom Brady. I don't care about those things. It makes us overlook the greatness that's actually in front of us. So I am deeply uninterested in these conversations.
You want to stop and smell the flowers. Enjoy this right now. Don't fight about it.
I don't care who you think was better between, we can use LeBron and Jordan because it's like the never-ending radio topic. If you say LeBron and you say Jordan,
I would be right.
I think you've overlooked the point, though, because you can't, then all of a sudden you can't talk about LeBron or appreciate LeBron without belittling him in comparison to the greatness of Jordan, which was incredible greatness at a different time. I don't understand that these battles. Not everything has to be a duel between two different places.
But which one of these
places.
Guys
cares?
Is better.
I don't
Brian
care.
Scalabrini.
You know who's in front of me
no,
right now?
No, you have to have an opinion, Josh.
No, my opinion is that we're going to overlook Tyreek Hill in the conversation today that ends up becoming about Randy Moss because we want to talk about Randy Moss. Sweet. Talk about Randy Moss. Talk about Tyreek Hill. And let's appreciate the guy who's still playing football in front of us while we also appreciate the guy who came before him and was incredibly excellent at what he did. I don't know why it has to be so binary. I don't know why it has to be. Yeah, I can only appreciate one of them.
The world's non-binary now.
But that sucks. It's all a spectrum, baby.
Here's what I think is one of, and I like to say one of, the biggest problems. Because, that is people shouldn't be absolute.
The tweet wasn't even absolute.
The tweet wasn't absolute.
The tweet wasn't, but it turns into an absolute conversation.
Right, correct.
On Twitter, you shouldn't say something's the best or the worst or the whatever-est. You should always put a clarifying word in there, one of, whatever, because there is only one that's the best. And if it's something like this to where you can't really say which is best because there's no real way to measure which is best, you shouldn't do it. And I totally agree with Josh. This tweet from this 12-year-old on this podcast.
The quote is, he really might be the best deep threat in NFL history.
He really might be. That's
he might have meant become. And if that's true, Tyreek Hill might
but
become
see, Darren,
the greatest
well, here,
deep
don't
threat
fall
in
the
NFL
trap.
History.
If Tyreek Hill grows another 6 inches,
no,
perhaps
the deal,
level
why
point.
Does height have to do might, with stats?
Because that's a big-ass difference.
But what you need to do is listen to the word might. The word might is, he might be.
Who is a better deep threat, Darren? Jerry Rice or Randy Moss?
Randy Moss. See, that's definitive.
It's not definitive, but I don't know why you have to do this. You could have just as easily said Jerry Rice, and I still wouldn't care.
Eddie Kinnison.
That's the right answer. Thank you, Sterling, for finally being somebody with some courage to say what they mean.
This is the problem with social media, though, because
it's the problem with sports media too.
Sports media, because when someone says something on a podcast and then somebody takes the words out and puts it in a thing and then people go nuts about it, it is asinine.
See, but here's the thing.
But
see,
we'd like to talk about sports, so it gives us something to talk about, which is fine. It gives me a chance to watch 9 minutes of Randy Moss catching 40-yard passes today, I enjoyed that 9 minutes.
It's great.
He actually, how about this? A little trivia question. I watched this entire video of Randy Moss's 9 minutes of 40-yard catches or more. Do you know who he caught his last 40-yard touchdown catch from? These were in
who
chronological
caught it
order.
From?
Who was the quarterback of his last 40-yard
Christian
plus
Ponder
catch
no.
in his career?
Brett Favre.
Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, because 2012.
Because he played
year.
For the
49ers.
No.
When he took it to
his
Super Bowl.
His last 40-yard – now, his last touchdown catch was from Colin Kaepernick, who replaced Alex Smith later in the year because Alex got concussed. But his last 40-yard-plus touchdown catch was from
that
one
is a
Al
good
Smith.
Piece of trivia.
That's a very, very narrow piece of trivia, but – I totally forgotten that Jeff George was a Viking for a while because he was catching
he was
some bombs from Jeff George.
Yeah, I think it was he had Randall Cunningham, Jeff George, and then I think Dante Culpepper.
But I like both of these guys. And you know what, for me, if we're just having fun talking about Randy Moss. It's sad that Randy Moss never won a Super Bowl, right? He was on the undefeated Patriots team.
Trust
he was
me.
On
He's
a one-loss team with the
year.
Vikings. I mean, he was in the
when
Super
did you
Bowl.
Make money, Darren? I feel like all you do is lose
and
money.
He only
on
tells
sports.
The stories.
Yeah,
of losing.
He was
on the Niners team
no,
that was
I
one
money,
catch
part
away
yeah.
from the lights out Super Bowl from winning that one. He almost won a lot of things, but
well,
he did
and,
never
hold
win.
On, and the Chiefs here's the crazy height. Part. Hold on, but here's the crazy part because that last play in the Super Bowl, he was actually open in the back of
the
end
through
zone.
The wrong guy.
And yeah, and
maybe
Colin
Alex Smith would have found him. Oh, now
that.
Let's have that talk.
Let's do that. Let's get into it.
I highly doubt that. But, you know, but to Briscoe's point, because, see, here's the thing. If you had said Tyreek is the best deep threat in the NFL right now, hey, you got no argument.
Well, I wouldn't even say that now. I wouldn't say
it
now.
It's a difference.
You better say
difference. Tyler Lockett, he's not even the best deep threat on the Seahawks.
I would say, but you still should say the word Mike.
That seems like how
I won't even tell you that. I won't even tell you that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL.
How dare you?
So he might
well,
be.
He might
how dare you? I mean, I think he is. But, like, there's some.
Wait, did you say you don't think he is?
What?
Darren raised his eyebrow at me in a way that it was confusing.
He gave
me
an eyebrow.
Gave me the eyebrow. Your eyebrow stopped me in my tracks. I heard a record scratch with your eyebrow pop up. There. But, like, there's something. Here. I think this is also part of it. If it depends on how you want to have those conversations. Because if you want to have a conversation about, like, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen right now, like, I.
for whatever reason,
having that conversation with that dude right there.
That's a fun enough conversation for me. I'm still not super into it. I would rather talk about the things that Josh Allen does well or that he needs to improve on what he does interestingly or in an exciting way, and then talk about Patrick Mahomes
or like what
on
he's
his
wearing
own also,
or who he's listening to.
100%. Yes. I would rather talk about these guys in their own contexts, because I think that that keeps us from playing that comparison game. That's going to have Patrick Mahomes compared to Tom Brady.
We've somehow created a list of society, is what we've done. You know, it starts on these just TV shows or whatever. This is the top 10, top 100, top 50. We've just created this thing where all we are is lists.
Yeah.
And that's it. Maybe it goes back to the Billboard 100 or whatever, because we've always measured. Those were actually on album sales or sales, mm-hmm. something different. But everyone else's lists are just arbitrary. They're just lists. This is the best this. You know, the U.S. News and World Report's best 100 schools, whatever. It's all garbage. It's just something that's made up and to make people have conversations. But we are in a conversation-driven business where we fill time with conversations. It's not just calling games. So I'm down with some of those conversations. But I do get frustrated sometimes when people get offended, you know, because they want to defend something so hard. And especially when you're doing eras. Because it's not like 700 years ago, but Randy Moss played in a different NFL
right.
than Tyreek Hill played in. And LeBron James plays in a different, you know, NBA than Michael Jordan did. It's just totally a different deal. And it's fun to talk about, but I don't like too many lists. And I don't like people getting too upset about arguing about two of the greatest players at their position and which is better than the other one. It's not like someone came out there and said that Sean LaChapelle the greater
right.
What I will go to Josh's point, which, look, I appreciate and I try to. That's why I really don't like the whole LeBron Jordan thing. Because one, they play two different positions, and for the most part, two different eras. Because Jordan retired before LeBron actually came into the league. So
2004, I think, is the switch. I always go with, is that when the hand check, when the Pistons won and the NBA kind of had that rule change where they're like, we need more offense. That's when I always kind of draw the era switch.
I guess if you go from there, I would say that was, I mean, you said
and then
Pistons.
Free agency too. You
know? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, but to his point, because look, I know LeBron's great. Trust me. The man has played 17, 18 years. I know one of these days he's going to have to call it quits. Father Time right now has only lost one battle, and that's what Tom Brady.
Right.
So, you know,
Father Time's
he's
down.
He's infinity and one
they're,
right now.
They're down in the third quarter.
Well, TB12, I think, is the only thing that can
that's
stop
right.
it.
That's what I'm saying. So Father Time
and
is infinity and
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
But to that point, look, you know, so I love watching LeBron. You know, I know he's great. I know when he finally throws his jersey up, he'll be the leading scorer of all time in the NBA. It's not done make him a better scorer than, you know, Michael Jordan. He just had longevity. You know,
didn't quit for a year and a half for some reason.
You know,
who knows?
Didn't quit 3 years for another reason.
Yeah, any reasons?
I mean,
reason?
But you know, but to that point, you know, LeBron is great. I mean, now I can't. You know, to me, I think winning still matters. I mean, so you know, granted, yeah, you can get to a thing.
I could say
Bill Russell
still matters, though.
So yeah, Bill Russell. I
mean, well, yeah, but Bill Russell has actually
I
lost.
Think we're gonna eventually
and
look back.
Guess what? Michael Jordan has lost. Why is somehow losing in the
Michael,
first round?
Actually, when the championship was on the line.
So in the first round,
championship is always on.
Why can't
if you don't? Why is somehow losing in the first round better than losing in the finals? That makes absolutely zero sense. It's the most asinine
conversation.
I am absolutely pissed right now.
You know how much I hate to agree with Sterling.
Let me educate you on something. You raising your voice is not going to make you right in this conversation.
So you are saying losing the first round is better than losing in the finals. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean,
what?
Yeah.
It's wild. It's wild.
That
Aaron.
Is the most backwards,
it's a horrible
dumb
take.
Conversation. You can't even start there. You can't even start an actual talk.
If you want to do like total rings
or
whatever,
losing
that's
before
fine.
I can make to the finals.
But, yeah, but just losing earlier as an advantage is weird to me.
It is weird.
How is that an advantage?
I think what we're going to look back eventually, and there'll be something else that changes this, we're going to look back to pre-social media and post-social media careers as well, because I do think in a way it's harder to do some things now because the spotlight is bigger. There's more people can get it in your business and all that stuff. You can't just go live Michael Jordan's life like he used to be able to live. It's different.
What was more impressive for Mahomes and for the Chiefs? Was it losing to Brady in the AFC Championship game or losing to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl last year? Like, what was a better season? What'll look better on his resume?
AFC Championship game loss. Because
no,
they were
he got a cover. He's got a cover.
Darren is making this fit.
Hold on. First of all, Don't ask me a question and don't let me respond to
it. That part's fair.
That's Radio 101. Don't ask me a question.
That's my fault.
That
was my fault.
Respond.
That's my fault. Okay. It's your fault that it's a bad answer, but it's my fault.
No, it's your fault that you asked me the question. Now, you asked me the question.
Yes,
I said AFC Championship game because that was a learning experience. They got a chance. They got a chance to right the wrongs and come back and right the ship the second time around. Now, they came back. They came back the second year. Came back the second year to, you know, run it back. I thought they were going to go undefeated. I was the only one at least had the courage of my conviction to believe that.
To be wrong.
injuries happen. Injuries happen.
Yeah,
and then,
for every single team.
It didn't happen to Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl.
No injuries all season? Zero?
Let him finish his point, Sterling.
Because last time I checked, your teams didn't make it. So let's keep that 100, too. Let's keep that, too, because you didn't have them winning. But all that being said, yes, I think them doing it, the AFC Championship game, because, yeah, if you ask Andy Reid and you ask the players, if you make it to the Super Bowl and you lose, is a season of success, they'll tell you no. Do you think it's different or not?
No, I think it's better to win a conference.
Round of success,
I think it's better to win the AFC Championship game than to lose the AFC Championship game. I think that.
If you've never gotten there.
No, I think winning the conference.
By the same way, the thing about Jordan is he never went to the finals and lost. That's his big thing,
or
right?
Or the Olympics, or the NCAA
he went
championship.
Six,
or
no,
the
they, no, he failed the NCAAs. He won as a freshman when James Worthy was on the team. Never made the Final Four again. He was a freshman. He couldn't lead North Carolina with Kenny Smith and all these guys.
And this is why he's a terrible basketball player.
Boom. He was 1-0
in NCAA championship.
Right, so you'd rather lose in the round of 64 than losing the Final Four.
It's always on the line in the tournament. It's always on the line in the tournament.
Okay, so basically, so that kind of qualifies with Bill Self. He's won one national title, but that in addition to a lifetime contract then, right?
Well, they're just giving him money because they give him money. But he's failed way more times than he's been successful.
Yeah. I, too, think the Royals 2014 was the exact same as every other season since 2015.
Right. I don't really care about the Jordan and LeBron thing for all the reasons I just described, but I do think it's weird to say Jordan never lost. He never lost in the finals, but there were also plenty of – half the time he wasn't in the finals, like, which
more
is, again – yeah, a little bit more. It was 13 years in Chicago.
You don't count the other years?
I was giving.
Couldn't make the playoffs.
What, Antoine Walker,
exactly.
Brandon
so
Hayward
so
couldn't do it
that.
For you.
You can't count. It didn't matter.
He didn't make the playoffs.
I don't think the Birmingham Barons even made the playoffs his double A year either.
I just feel like it's okay to like have a little bit of gray area and say that it's incredible that Jordan never lost a finals. It's also incredible how many times LeBron has been to the finals. Like, I just don't – that goes back to being mutually
exclusive.
I mean,
Jerry West went to the finals,
that.
What, 9 years in a row?
Yeah,
that's also
really impressive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
how many L's did he catch?
I'm just not that worried about it.
I mean, several probably. I don't know.
It
was great.
You know what? You know why? Because history will say you're not going 9-0. You know why? Because it's never happened before.
Yeah, I mean, you can do. Like, is Jim Kelly terrible? Was that era of Bills football? We remember it because they lost in Super Bowls, but they were winning AFC Championship games. Like, that's super impressive, despite not being able to do it.
No,
at the very
Briscoe,
end.
They should go 4-12. That would be better.
Would it be better to go 4-12 than to go to the AFC Championship? Yeah, win the AFC Championship. I don't know. That's a
Darren
weird
is going to die on this hill.
I don't know.
That's dying on this hill
because they were known as losers. I mean, granted, you won the AFC Championship four times, but they were known as four-time Super Bowl losers.
Yeah,
so.
You know who the losers were. The losers were the Chiefs at that time.
Yeah,
and couldn't make
exactly,
the couldn't
exactly
make the Super
right.
Bowl.
That's yep. exactly right.
Robert Horry's better than Jordan.
That's right.
Bang.
Boom.
Put
Done.
That in your pipe.
Big shot, Bob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess he's a Hall of Famer too, huh?
Oh, you don't have to be a Hall of Famer to be better. He's the guy with rings.
Got those rings, baby. Are we doing rings or not? Are we doing rings radio or not, Darren?
I want you to look up the 83 North Carolina team and the 84 North Carolina team when it was his team. He wasn't ready to win yet.
I'm not going
to
do this.
He made one shot. James Worthy was the best player on that team by far.
But who made the shot?
James Worthy scored more points than he did that
who
day.
Who made the shot?
Christian
who made
Leitner.
The shot?
So, Christian Leitner's
who
now
made
the best
shot,
player.
Shot in that game, Todd?
Who made the who'd they lose to in 83 and 84? They didn't make the Final Four.
Not only does
not
the
even
last
not making the whole thing, just not make the Final Four.
Not only does the last game is the only thing that matters, the last
shot
is now the only thing
Briscoe,
that matters.
Wait, Briscoe, this also now makes, again, a point in Robert Horry's favor. So
really
Robert
does.
Horry is now really starting to make a good case for himself.
Hey, Tyreek Hill has more rings than Randy Moss does, guys. I don't know if you guys have thought about that.
Mecole Hardman does, too.
Oh, so does Mecole Hardman. That's a great point. DeMarcus Robinson's got more rings than
so
Randy
Jody
Moss
Fortson.
Does.
I mean,
Jody Fortson's got a ring, man.
Didn't have a uniform on that day.
He's on practice squad. Practice squad. Or I think he's got a ring.
Yeah, I think he got a ring. He didn't have a uniform on. I prefer you to play in the game.
Garrett Dieter's a better receiver than Randy Moss. Book it.
Now Darren's mad.
Darren said it.
It's not mad. I just let y'all ask him. Oh, sweet Jesus.
He can't help us. He's not. Jesus is not going to
No, you know
here.
What? He can't even figure this one out.
No.
It's too much.
There's nothing to figure out. I mean,
Christ in heaven is looking down like, I don't know. I thought Randy Moss was great.
Well, you
but
start throwing Mecole Hardman as a better wide receiver because he's got a ring.
He's got the rings. I mean, he won when it mattered, too. Yeah.
He's also a deep threat. So
absolutely.
I saw that one catch he had against Tennessee.
Yeah. That one, that was it.
Remember in Randy Moss's rookie year when he couldn't make the Super Bowl and Mecole Hardman could?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Sammy Watkins is a better receiver than, I guess, Randy Moss. That's just a weird place.
He's picked higher, drafted
it's
higher.
True. Better college career.
Yeah. Played D1 college.
Hard to believe Trent Dilfer. Hard to believe.
Better quarterback than Dan Marino.
Yeah, hard to
Jim
believe.
He's just as good a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Just as good.
They're
same.
Equals.
Equals.
Yeah.
Equals.
Well, because, Mahomes lost in one, so
I guess
that,
right.
that season didn't count.
That actually is a negative ring. Mahomes is actually at zero. He won one Super Bowl and Moss won Super Bowl. That actually means zero. So he and Jim Kelly are tied again.
Yeah, you guys Darren had a carb in 3 days. Give him a break.
Don't remind me of that, Lebo.
You going no carbs, Darren? What's your carbohydrate situation?
He's going no carbs.
This show's only an hour, right?
Yeah, we're going to have Lebo. To make like a power commercial and just go out at some point. I'll figure it out. We'll do math.
I told Lebo that I have every intention between now and Radio Row in L.A. to be down in weight, be shredded, because when I get out of my suits, when I get out of my suits on Radio Row, I'm stripping, I'm walking around L.A.
Naked.
No, I'm not going to do
that.
You
said stripping down.
Tank top.
Tank top and lathered in baby oil.
Ooh, that's good.
Lathered in baby
oil. Do you have any tattoos? You want to get tatted up down there and like really get like the rock? Like,
no, I was going to get a tattoo. At one time, I was in the chair to get a tattoo. Mom called us home.
You were in the chair?
I was in the chair to get a tattoo. Mom called us on. We had an emergency at the house, and I never just went back.
What was it? When was it?
I was out of college, but it was going to be the skull. You know, the Steve Austin skull breaker thing?
Yeah.
That's what I was getting.
Broken Skull Ranch.
Yeah, I was getting that.
He was going to stone cold it.
I was going to get
DTA.
I would have gotten a tad of a fraternity I was looking to join at the time. But
you didn't join?
Our line got dropped.
Which one was it?
Omega Sci Fi.
Ah, Q-Dog.
So, yeah. So I
would
about
you
to
have
branded.
Gone brand?
But he almost made me cuss on air. No, I'm not getting branded. That's the slave.
That always blew my mind. I'd see the Omegas down at school at class with some of these guys. I'm like, I cannot believe you have a brand on your arm. It really, really, really looks like that hurt.
Tattoos
hurt though. You're tatted up, Lebo.
But not like a brand.
I almost cursed. I got too comfortable in here.
Is it ass tat?
No, I got a girl hip tat.
Yeah, it's borderline pubic.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. I'm out.
I'm out. Yep, go ahead.
Get the webcam on.
Whip it out. Let's go stream this.
Yeah, I can't. That Sterling, you just left an indelible.
I didn't do that. Briscoe literally said, "Whip it out. Let's stream."
It's not a whip out. It's a move the pants thing. It's not.
I don't want any of your pants moving.
Why?
You want to see mine? We got matching ones. I don't know if I mentioned
Lebo, let people know where. I'm sorry, not Lebo, but Josh, please.
Oh, he's got 4 minutes left. We got 5 minutes left. We're going to the top.
Oh, okay.
Take it to the top.
What else are we talking
It's
about,
like
Darren?
James
talk
Brown, you know.
Well, we're going to miss a song.
Well, yeah, we're going to miss a song.
You can
I can play it now. You can play it.
Yeah,
just play a song and see if Briscoe knows it.
Bring us back from break. Hold on.
Listen to Almost Entirely Sports weeknights on Sports Radio 810 WHB, except for tonight and except for tomorrow, but back on Friday.
You know this one?
It sounds a lot like a Panic at the Disco song, but it's actually Mr. Blue Sky.
Yes, ELO.
That was impressive.
Electric like orchestra.
You know what's funny was? I actually was about to play Panic at the Disco.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's actually
Panic at the Disco.
Panic!
At the Disco.
We didn't have, though, Lion's the Most Fun.
That's my best karaoke song.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So
great song.
Last week on Jeopardy, Panic at the Disco was an answer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I
was gonna say, tell me the question, but it's Panic. What is Panic at the Disco?
It was the category had to do with exclamation points in bands. So Pink was an answer.
Sure.
Panic
at the disco was an answer. Gosh, what was the other one? I remember that. I was going to take a picture of it. Cindy, I like to send you guys Jeopardy picks sometimes.
I love it.
Of those. But yeah,
I love your screenshots and
at the disco.
The Lebo group chat, infrequent as it is, makes my heart sore.
I also love you just calling it the Lebo situation. I like just calling stuff like a Briscoe situation or like the Lebo situation.
This is Black Keys. You know this one. You've heard this song.
No.
Come on.
Oh, come on. Darren, you haven't heard this song?
I am culturally not aware of this song. We don't play this on 103 or 107.
But we play it here for you.
You didn't play that for me. You
played
it
right now.
For Briscoe.
No.
I thought this was your guys' bump out music. It's a good bump.
Did you,
it's a great song.
Have you listened to the new Black Keys record?
I haven't.
It's interesting. It's old blues songs. They
I don't
just kind of covered
them. Black Keys.
You've
is.
Heard about.
I have not.
Listen
you
to
know,
me.
You know the White Stripes?
No.
These guys are the opposite.
Yeah. You've heard Black Keys songs because they
Although
play
they
them all over TV shows and sports games. They do that at stadiums and stuff. You've heard them. You just don't know.
I probably wasn't paying attention.
Well, you play. You need to pay attention.
I'm seeing that now because they're going to be playing this at arenas and stuff.
You know, here, Black Keys and LeBron James, both Akron, Ohio. See, they came up out of Akron.
You know,
I like it better when he plays Charlie Wilson.
I love playing Charlie Wilson.
Yeah,
I know this song. I can't remember who this is.
It's an offensive lineman for
it's Creed,
the Chiefs.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Is this higher or
this is higher?
Higher. Yeah.
Or Arms Wide Open. They really only have like two songs.
It's kind of a.
Hold on, Sterling. Before we get out, I do want to know. Do you think Lucas Niang is overweight?
No.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
Look at us. We don't think anyone's overweight.
No, that's true. Yeah, if Lucas Niang is overweight, what are we? Dying is what we are. No, he's fine.
This is another problem with social media. 30 seconds of video goes out there. Someone says, oh, my God, look at this guy's fat, and everyone goes nuts.
Yeah, Lucas Niang
without,
has a belly.
Without knowing what he weighed in at before or anything. He's an offensive lineman. You know how many offensive linemen don't have bellies?
Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz are part of a very small coalition. Orlando Brown Jr. is going to come in with his belly hanging out. Lucas Niang's going to play right tackle with his belly hanging out.
That's
that
right.
Denver Broncos guy. It's like I was
Quinn
letting,
Miners.
It, letting it air out.
Let
letting
it breathe. It,
letting it breathe.
Wisconsin Whitewater?
I mean, for me, I don't know. I guess for me, I'm sitting thinking, you want Patrick Mahomes to be protected. What man is going to move those men against their will?
Let me tell you that very few.
They better hang on for their life tonight. If they're going to be
there, you go.
Shooting Star. That's the local band, Kansas City band.
Really?
Hang on for your life tonight.
It was either Seth or Nate on
these guys used to babysit Sterling.
That makes sense. They, he mentioned it. I think it was Seth. He said, you guys remember watching Willie Rofe between snaps?
He looked like he was dead.
It looked like he was not going to make it back to the huddle, and then he'd get back to the offensive line, and the guy in front of him would die a slow death.
He would set. He'd get back, he'd go up the line, he would set his feet, he would just stonewall somebody.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Chiefs are going to have a beefy offensive line.
Well, look.
It's going to be different.
I've told you, my concern is Patrick's not going to be able to see over the line.
Yeah, the big guys again.
I mean,
Drew Brees would struggle.
Those are some.
Kyler Murray and his 5'7 self would struggle.
He'd just run.
Those are some huge.
Is this more Fallout Boy?
This panic.
At the disco.
This
no,
is
panic.
At the don't disco. Threaten me with a good time.
Why can't you play a song for Darren?
No, this is.
Good time, yeah.
Is it?
Okay.
Why won't you play a song for Darren?
I put an instrumental of this in there. That's what that was right there.
Yeah, why don't you play some more Nipsey Hussle?
Song for Darren?
What's Darren's favorite song?
Yes!
He knows
Hell
this
yeah,
one.
Dude. You guys want to do Molly?
George Michael?
To this song?
Have you seen the music video?
No.
It's real good.
Who's the other guy in Wham? Trivia question.
Well, it's just George Michael.
No, there's two guys, and the other guy had a bit of a solo career.
George and Michael.
Who's the other guy's name?
I don't remember.
I'm here to educate you. Andrew Ridgely.
I got ELO earlier.
You did. That's pretty good.
They play
that song for Gary Lezak in the morning for weather.
Mr. Oh, that's
Blue
good.
Sky
that makes
on a nice
sense.
Day.
That makes sense. You know, fun fact, I've never been awake while the Border Patrol's on.
Not even for a second. No, I've called you before in the morning.
Oh, 10. I mean, Super Bowl championship postgame show, we were, I was live on the radio until the Border Patrol started.
Darren, who's this one?
That better be Beyonce.
See?
Right.
Got a song. You get to go out on a high note.
We all get to go out on a high note.
Like Michael Jordan, if he just wouldn't have come back.
He would have gotten to more finals and won maybe a couple of them.
At least he wouldn't have lost, Andy.
Ah!
Josh Briscoe, almost talks
for not
let people
the
know what time they can tune in to hear you.
Who knows? Follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe, and I'll tell you then.
6 o'clock
changes
tonight.
Day to day.
Baseball tonight.
Now, oh, yeah. I literally forgot I was doing that.
Well, you're here now.
No, I mean, I knew that whenever I was driving in. Like, yeah. I was going to do both, but I forgot about it. I was having such a good time here.
Lebo, thank you so much for doing with us again next week. For Sterling Holmes, Darren Smith, we are off until Monday. We'll be joined by Jeffrey Flanagan. Until then, stay safe, wear a mask or not. It's up to you.